You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks. John.
Yeah.
We have two movies to talk about.
We sure do.
They are Time Lapse.
Yep. Tell me about it.
And
Starry Eyes.
Starry Eyes.
Starry Eyes.
Time Lapse is a sci-fi thriller that involves people being able to see a photo of their living room 24 hours into the future.
Crazy.
And then the little psychological drama that pours out from that sort of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Starry Eyes is?
A tale about a lady in Hollywood struggling to get work who is asked into a incredibly creepy, casting couch kind of situation.
Serbian film.
Not quite that creepy. Not quite that creepy. No. And she's pushed to her limits by
Serbian film.
The needs and excesses of Hollywood.
So not Serbian film.
Not Serbian film.
Okay.
No.
Already Starry Eyes has disappointed me.
Anywho, tell me about Time Lapse.
Time Lapse. Time Lapse is a story of these three roommates, a couple, and then they're all like sort of struggling artists. One of them is like a waitress. The girl is a waitress.
Okay.
And she's a writer. And the guy is a painter, but he's actually the superintendent, I guess, for like a little housing area.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other guy, it's not really clear, but he gambles a lot.
Okay.
They sort of get the indication that one of their neighbors may be in trouble.
Okay.
Because there's parking tickets piling up on his car, and nobody's really seen him.
Mm-hmm.
And since he's the superintendent, the landlord's like, go check in on him. He's late on his rent.
Right.
So they go. They can't find the neighbor, but they do find this camera that's huge and bolted to the ground, pointed at their living room, and they have an entire wall of photos with some of them missing. Of their living room.
Wait, how is the camera pointed at their room if they're in his apartment?
It's a housing complex. It's not like it's not an apartment building.
Oh, okay.
It's just sort of like they live across the street from the guy.
I got you.
So the camera's pointed out the window
into their living room from across the street.
So it's like sometimes you just see like the blinds are closed. And there's nothing on the photo. Sometimes you just see them like partying or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like an entire wall of these photos.
Creepy.
And it doesn't take them too long to figure out that the photos are of stuff that had obviously they can't tell looking at the ones in the past, but a photo comes out and they're like, why is the coat rack knocked over?
Okay.
And they're like, the coat rack's not knocked over if we're looking out
now.
Right now.
And then the next day it gets knocked over.
Yeah, it gets knocked over. And they start to slowly piece it together. And then this sort of like, and again, this is kind of stuff in the trailer, so I don't really feel that it's like spoilers.
Yeah, okay.
As you do, as soon as you have any sort of glimpse into the future, and one of your friends is a big gambler, you
take pictures of the lottery tickets or something.
Exactly. Yeah, they just put up the racetrack results.
Right.
So now they can get the photo from tomorrow, gamble on the winners, and then start
does it work?
Some money. Yeah, it absolutely works.
Nice.
And exactly. So you can just kind of imagine that you're like, okay, this is a weird little time travel-y movie. And obviously,
but this is like more sci-fi bent, right? Than it is.
Yeah. It's straight sci-fi. Like they even talk a little bit about like some of the theories as to like if whether or not they have to recreate what's in the photo, because they're like, well, we know what's in the photo, so we could like
not do it.
We could just not do it.
Right.
Right. And then they are like, okay, but judging from like the scientist's notes or whatever else like that, there might be like a really bad consequence if we don't do it. So sometimes they'll like force themselves into a situation, even though they necessarily wouldn't have done it if they hadn't have seen the photo.
This sounds like a really good concept.
Yeah.
Does it work?
It gets really close to working. Everybody sort of has their own reasons for being into the photo. Like, for instance, the painter, like the first photo, he's in the beginning of the film, he's at a painter's block, let's say.
Okay.
But in the first photo that they get, he has like a completed painting in the photo.
Right.
So he like busts out a magnifying glass and he's like, this is the painting that I got to make. So he's making like kick-ass paintings because he knows that they're
completed in the photo for the next day.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's it. So it's like, and there's like that whole dilemma. He's like, am I even painting these?
Right.
You know, he's like, did they actually come from my creativity?
Would I have done it this way if I hadn't seen the picture?
Yeah, exactly. So there's like kind of like some interesting stuff like that. And
But
it doesn't pay off enough. The last 15 minutes of it are very, very, very cool. I'm going to talk about it in the spoilers.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they had captured the last like 10, 15 minutes of it way earlier in the movie, I think this would have been like a cult classic.
Really?
But unfortunately, it doesn't quite hit. You kind of don't care about the characters. A lot of them come off as like little like babies. Like the motivations of the gambler guy, you're like, he's like a little too intense. The acting is, it's very, we've talked about this before, where you have like stage actors in their first like features.
Yeah.
How it doesn't always like click. It kind of feels a little bit like that in terms of the performance.
Okay.
Nothing is expressly bad,
right,
but everybody seems to be kind of like overacting for the screen.
Huh.
Like there's not a lot of like subtlety in their performances, you know.
So, okay. So who should go see this?
I'm trying desperately not to say Primer.
Uh-huh. You always do that, man. It's like,
well, it's like it's the that's the time travel gold standard, right?
It is. Like, well, like the genre defining film.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it. It's like the gold standard of like time travel.
Yeah.
If you're, I'm trying to think of something else. Like it's sort of, I guess if you're interested in the time travel sci-fi thriller kind of thing. What's that movie that was... Oh, here we go. This is a good comparison. Do you remember Triangle or Bermuda Triangle?
I do. That's... Yeah.
It's the one on the boat.
Yeah, the one on the boat.
Exactly.
Right.
And I know this is not a really great recommendation because if we can't even properly remember it, chances are you haven't seen it. But it's kind of like that where you're like, oh, this has some cool ideas. Doesn't fully execute on all of them.
But it was still fun to watch.
Still fun to watch.
Yeah.
I guess, like, footnote, Sarah really didn't enjoy it.
Okay.
And she liked the last 10, 15 minutes, though.
Right, right.
Like, so that's, like, the kind of thing where it's like, she was like, I'm kind of bored. These people are bad acting.
Wow.
Whatever else like that.
But then there was the payoff.
But then there was, like, a payoff, and she's like, oh, fuck, that's really cool. So...
Okay. Well,
just, like, you came so close, time-lapse. You came so close. If you guys are listening... Remake your movie and then make stuff like the last 15 minutes the whole movie.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
You didn't do bad, though, time-lapse. You didn't do bad.
So Starry Eyes is focuses on this one lady by the name of Sarah Walker, who is a starving, struggling actress in Los Angeles, trying to get work, trying to get acting work.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is it contemporary?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Working at a very, very degrading, like, Hooters ripoff kind of joint.
Okay.
She gets an interview to go for an acting thing. The people treat her terribly during the interview, or during her, like, reading her lines. She goes to the bathroom to blow off steam and ends up, like, screaming and ripping her hair out, just, like, venting energy out.
Okay.
And one of the girl who was in her line reading happened to be in the bathroom at the same time, sees her do this freak out and is like, why don't you come back and do that in front of us right now? And so she goes back in, she gets a call back, and then she gets dragged into this world where it's like not quite casting couch in the sexual sense, although that element is there as well, but like asking way too much of actresses in Hollywood. It goes very, very dark.
Bad Boy, Lover Boy.
You know what? There's a lot that could be said about those two films together. Quite a lot, actually. But I don't want to say any more because I'm going to start spoiling stuff. And easily within like 30 minutes, stuff starts happening that will take this film in like a totally different direction than you think that it will go.
Okay.
So it, it did have some rough points where it didn't go quick enough. Like it delayed, and it like ultimately the story of Hollywood is full of evil people who just want to abuse young, beautiful girls. It's like, that's been done, you know? So it's like hard for that alone to carry the film. And it would be impossible, I should say. You can't, like, that would just be a boring movie because we all know that message and we've all seen it 100 times.
Yeah.
But there's extra stuff in this movie that is not what you're expecting that allows the film to be entertaining and delightful.
Okay.
So... I would even say challenging. Like, you couldn't just watch this if you're into horror movies. You have to be ready to get grossed out.
Okay.
Not in the fun kind of bloody knuckles way. In the oh fuck, and I'm gonna mention a movie, Thanatomorphos.
Yes.
You might remember this.
Go back to last year's.
Last year's. There was like 400 people on the planet who watched Thanatomorphos.
Yeah.
Don't watch it, but watch a trailer or something.
Or you could even just listen to the podcast.
You could just listen to the podcast where we talked about it. Because wow, did I gripe about that? Anyway, I don't want to say anything else because I feel I may have even already said too much.
But so you're saying that like it heads into like an uncomfortably gross out. Not necessarily.
No, uncomfortably gross out is
okay. I was
uncomfortably dark, uncomfortably violent. It gets into really, really crazy places, and mm-hmm. I was totally not expecting it from where they set it up at the start. Okay. So I was very pleased.
Okay.
Some of the people I was with were like horrified and disgusted and just like physically repulsed.
So you're just not friends with those people anymore?
I will never speak with them again.
Good.
Period. Let us spoil these films.
These are the spoilers.
All right.
Yeah.
So here's the twist.
The twist.
Of time-lapse. Time-lapse, this is where it got so good. So the entire thing is, obviously, if you have the bookie who you're making all these winning bets with is going to show up. He's going to fucking...
Get the bets,
and then he tries to, like, ride the bets, and then instead of riding the bets, he's like, well, here's what's going to happen. You're going to give me all the results.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, like, place the bets, and basically you're just going to sit there. And then every day, I'm going to pick up the photo from you. All three of your friends need to be in the photo the next day to make sure that you're not fucking running around doing this shit.
Right.
And then they sort of, like, have them on lockdown, and they're like, fuck our lives. This is our lives, just, like, working for the bookie.
Right.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then it goes, like, crazier and crazier because the gambling guy is kind of like, I want to get out of this. This is, like, my bullshit life. Same thing, too, with the painter guy is like, I'm just going to take my girlfriend and go.
Yeah.
The gambler guy is like, you can't, because if there's any photo that happens where not all three of us are in it the next day, he'll know that you fucked off, and I'll get fucked.
Right.
Because I'm going to have to stick behind because he knows the most about me. Like,
right.
I'm the first guy he's going to go after. So then they basically, like, come up with this, like, plan, and it goes pretty south, and they end up killing the bookie and killing his goon and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now, this is where it starts to get good. Where it gets really good is all of a sudden the girlfriend, who's been kind of like a quiet character, starts like doing like crazy stuff. Like it's okay, I don't want to like, get ahead of myself too much. So like one of the things that like she's hang on, how can I do this? Okay. Trying to make sense of this. Really sorry to the listeners. When they go into the neighbor's house,
uh-huh.
when I mentioned there's a lot of photos missing,
yep.
first of all, there's all the day photos are missing, or a whole row of day photos are missing from mm-hmm. the past week.
Yeah, you mentioned some of them were missing.
And then some random night photos are missing.
Okay.
So they never really explain why. The girl explains why that in the first photo that she had, she was a day photo of herself holding up instructions, saying, like, take this photo, take this photo, take this photo.
Huh.
And then do this, do this, do this. So she was, like, she's been orchestrating a whole bunch of the events. Like, this is what's going to happen. He's going to end up killing the bookie. And, like, and all this and that. Like, it's like she had all this stuff and, like, had to set things up to try to get her and her boyfriend out.
Okay.
So, and so what she hypothesizes is she's, like, I'm changing stuff.
Right.
Essentially. By, like, sending these messages back. Because I know something, and then when I send the message back, I am essentially changing the timeline.
Right.
So it's like, you have to, like... But it's not really clear. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, where you're just sort of like... there's very much, like, at no point in time do they actually succeed in changing a photo.
Okay.
Like, but, like, there's, like, one point where it's, like, swap the photos to make everybody think that it is. But that's, again, her... who told herself to swap the photos with, like, a previous photo.
Right, give everybody a...
Yeah, exactly. To be like, oh, look, the photo changed. We changed the fucking...
I'm not sure I'm getting which part... Like, I get it's really cool. Like, it's very thoughtful. But is there, like, a payoff in terms of, like, tension? What's, like, the climax? Well,
the payoff and the tension is that everything goes to hell.
Yeah.
And she's like, don't worry. Like, I feel like this has probably happened before, and I always fix it with the fucking note.
Right.
So she's, like, fully willing... to like
change time.
I think a little memory is like a little bit hazy, but like she even kills her boyfriend because she's fucking confident that she's like, I will fix this.
Wow.
Like she's like, this won't happen, and she's like, just don't show him the photo, because she ends up showing a photo of her fucking the other guy so that he will ultimately like be like vengeful against the other guy.
Wow.
And then she's like, wait, holy shit, that was wrong. So she even kills her own boyfriend, confident
that she'll get a picture of it, send it back, and then it won't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So like that's where like the tension comes from. You're like, whoa.
Right.
And then like the last scene is obviously, well, not obviously, but the last scene is the message. She even like she's like, fuck you. Like she goes to like the cop. She's like, look, I killed all these people. Doesn't matter. I have this sign up, and I'm gonna get the sign yesterday.
Yeah.
and everything's going to be erased, and the sign just, like, falls down. Like, it doesn't, like, say stuck, so it just, like, falls off, so they're fucked. So it's, like, the photo that
Oh, okay, okay, I get it. Yeah, that's exactly. A twist. Yeah, she doesn't get the final message back.
She doesn't get the final message back, so she doesn't know not to do it.
Yeah.
So, more of that.
Yeah.
Like, if they had just, like, gotten to that point where they started to fuck with each other more, and it's like...
Yeah, and it's something you could, like, rotate back in on multiple times by having, like, several fake-outs where you don't know if what you're seeing is going to be something that, like, a timeline that continues on in the film or one that gets erased by the actions of somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, you could have done that three or four times and staggered back crazy antics.
Yeah, exactly.
That you could get away with because it could get erased.
Yeah, exactly. That's
right,
it.
Right, I got it.
And then that I think, would have made it really, really, really strong.
Okay.
If they had that... stuff going on.
Oh man, that sounds so close.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, like, the last 2 minutes where it's like you have like the girl so confident that she's going to. But I mean, I guess at the same time they didn't want to flip back on itself because they're like I said, they never succeeded at actually changing a photo.
Right.
But if they had just like tried, you know, like you know what I mean? If there was more them trying to change the photo,
yeah,
I think that would have been like a way more tense situation than just like forcing themselves to be the way they are in the photo.
Interesting.
If they're like, oh fuck, we need to like absolutely not do this, and then crazy outside circumstances still create that photo. Like if there was more of them struggling against the photo, I think it would have been a much tighter, much more tense piece.
Okay, so Starry Eyes, very, very quickly after her like performance of like screeching out in the place, she gets invited for like a second callback where she gets summoned into this like spooky mansion that is run by this guy who has like a company that makes legendarily spooky kind of degrading like horror films that are like whatever. So he tries to get her to blow him to get a role in the film when she refuses to do it and runs out of the place crying, and she has this whole like gaggle of friends that are all also starving actors, and they all there's like the bitch in there who's like, haha, you didn't get the job, and there's like the guys who are sensitive to her.
Yeah.
And she flips out and cries and like hems and haws about the whole situation, but then ends up going back, blowing the guy, getting into it, and almost as soon as she does, her body starts to like degrade and melt, a la Thanatomorphose.
Yeah.
And she starts going crazier and crazier until she starts murdering all of her friends, who she assumes are like out to get her.
Okay.
And like steal her role and take her down and whatever. So this is huge, like really like 40 minutes or something of the movie is like her murdering in bloody, vicious fashion all of her friends. While her body is decomposing and her nails are rotting off and she has all these huge scabs and starts bleeding out of everywhere. Like, it's so moist. You know, like, the whole... Yeah. So gross. And then at the end, she, like... her body, like... It kind of, like, comes off like a shell. Her eyes are super starry, like in old-timey actress photos. And she's reborn as this, like, beautiful demon thing in this huge devil-worshipping ritual. And they never say devil anywhere in the movie. They only have little pentagram icons. So I'm saying devil-worshipping without that being clear. But, like, the final scene is this, like, huge ritual of her rebirth as a star. You know, and of course the directors are riffing on Hollywood, making people do horrible things to become beautiful and whatever. And that's like, I found that almost a little trite, but the trip of getting to that point at the end was like fun enough to watch on its own. So if you're into like horror, disgusting, whatever, like fucking, this is great.
And I mean, it sounds like if you're making any kind of a comparison to Thanatomorphose, it sounds like they're playing the effects legit. Like they're not trying to do any like zany, cheesy or whatever. Like
definitely not
hyper realistic.
Yeah,
like,
this similar to how Thanatomorphose had like ultra realistic the whole way through, and that was like 2 hours of this decomposition process.
Yeah.
This movie actually used that as part of a larger story. Something Thanatomorphose might have wanted to consider
having a story instead of just a woman rotting.
Having a story to keep people interested, but like, and I'm sure if the director were to hear this, he would be like, "Well, fuck this! It was such a cheesy story," and he's kind of right. It is a corny story about the girl like. Right. Giving in and blowing Hollywood execs to get jobs, but like, whatever, man. It was fun to watch, which really that's part of what a movie is all about.
Yeah. Sounds like it's like a decent recommendation to like a hardcore horror fan.
Yeah, like you'll get pissed off and grossed out and turn it off if you're not okay with really, really, really gratuitous effects. So be ready for that. But and that stuff is all like seriously handled, like you said. Like it's not zany. It's like gross.
It's not played for fun.
Yep.
Cool.
Good stuff.
All right, now.
Yep.
We have up next? Two more films. We have the world premiere of Montreal film Dis.
Yeah, and the world premiere of Parisian film Dealer.
Dis and Dealer.
Coming up next. Oh.
Hey guys, it's me again. Just a quick reminder, 9to5.cc is a fan-made, fan-supported website. That means we don't have any sort of an advertising budget. The only way we really have to get our name out there is by our fans sharing us, liking us, and supporting us. So if you enjoy what we're doing, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, we're there, tell your friends that this podcast is happening, then it's a lot of fun. Also, if you like what we're doing, we do have a podcast for the rest of the year, John and I, called 9to5 Entertainment System that we do with the other founders of the sites, Scott and Sophie, and we also have another podcast that we do through the rest of the year called Go Plug Yourself for myself and Walter J. Ling, talk to people that have interesting stuff coming up in Montreal. So once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, we're on both of them. If you see us at the festival, come say hey, and keep listening and keep enjoying the show. We're going to try to keep having episodes pretty much on a daily basis. Fantasia has been so great so far, so yeah, I'm done. Here we go. Thanks for listening.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.